President Obama went on the defensive yesterday evening in his second primetime news conference, defending his Treasury Secretary's plan to save the financial sector with $1 trillion of taxpayer money. The president took questions from reporters for nearly an hour during a conference that almost entirely focused on the economy. He was grilled about the bonuses received by AIG executives, the growing deficit budget, the healthcare issue, and others. Geithner's so-called private-public partnership would give investors federal money to buy up toxic assets. Many have criticized the plan as relying on investor greed as a fuel to fix the economy. But if the plan works, theoretically, banks would be able to free themselves of enough bad debt to be able to make good loans. That's a big if, however. Meanwhile, the president is planning an online town hall-style meeting on the economy tomorrow evening on the White House's website at whitehouse.gov. Joining me today to take a look at the press conference yesterday, as well as Geithner's ideas on how to save the economy, is Professor Richard Wolff. He is a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst and is featured in a new documentary by the Media Education Foundation called Capitalism Hits the Fan. Welcome to Uprising, Professor Wolff.
Welcome. Thank you for your welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks very much. I want to play some excerpts from the press conference yesterday, in particular, the opening remarks by the president on the plan that has been produced or that has been created by his Treasury Secretary. Let's take a listen to President Barack Obama yesterday.
Yesterday, Secretary Geithner announced a new plan that will partner government resources with private investment to buy up the assets that are preventing our banks from lending money. And we will continue to do whatever is necessary in the weeks ahead to ensure the banks Americans depend on have the money they need to lend, even if the economy gets worse. Finally, the most critical part of our strategy is to ensure that we do not return to an economic cycle of bubble and bust in this country. We know that an economy built on reckless speculation, inflated home prices, and maxed out credit cards does not create lasting wealth. It creates the illusion of prosperity, and it's endangered us all. The budget I submitted to Congress will build our economic recovery on a stronger foundation so that we don't face another crisis like this 10 or 20 years from now.
And that is President Barack Obama in his second primetime press conference. Richard Wolff, let's talk about first the plan itself by Timothy Geithner. Paul Krugman has come out this week, the Nobel Prize winning economist and writer for the New York Times, criticizing the so-called public-private partnership. What do you think of this plan, just at least from the perspective of freeing up banks to make loans that people desperately need?
Well, I think the underlying problem of both the Bush and now the Obama administrations is the assumption that if only you can pump enough money into the banks and the banking system generally, then that will solve our problems. It assumes, for example, that there's a vast collection of individuals and businesses just hopping eager to make borrowing an enormous part of their lives, and so they will rush to the banks to get this new money. But that's not the case. Our economy is in serious decline. People are holding back spending money, and they're holding back borrowing money. And businesses, seeing their customers dry up, are not in a mood to borrow either. So there's a fundamental flaw here in this assumption that everything will be made right if only you give enough money to the financial industry.
Well, what do you make of the plan that Obama has to basically give taxpayer money to investors? I mean, instead of the government itself buying up the toxic assets, which was a more direct way of doing it, but something that Paul Krugman and others have called Bush's plan, the cash for trash plan, instead of doing that, he's giving taxpayer money to, or wants to give taxpayer money to investors to buy up the toxic assets so that, you know, the risk is socialized, but the profits would be privatized.
Exactly. And unfortunately, I'm disappointed, to be honest with you, because it seems to me the same basic philosophy, carried out in a slightly different way, but the same basic philosophy operates here, which is you give money to the businesses at the top, hoping by a mixture of verbal pressure and hefty profit inducement to get them to do what the society needs. They have shown themselves, whether it be bankers, insurance companies, stock brokerages, they have shown themselves concerned, as they are legally bound to be, to do what's best for their company, with or without government help. And that continues to be good, perhaps, for their companies, but not for our economy. And it is disappointing that the president has decided to stay with that plan and provide money to private investors and banks and the same collection of folks who got us into this mess in the hope that they will do what is socially needed, even though they have shown themselves unable or unwilling to do that.
Now, even if one disagrees with the solution to buy up these toxic assets, in the long term, one may have a different approach. But in the short term, what is to be done with these toxic assets? What would you advise?
It's not so much, yes or no on the toxic assets. It's more the question of how might you combine an effort to unclog the credit markets that have frozen up because our economy is in trouble. How would you combine that with other things that are desperately needed? Let me give just two examples. When the situation got progressively worse the last time our capitalist economy collapsed in the 1930s, a conservative, basically, president, Franklin Roosevelt, eventually had to supplement the things he was doing for banks and investors by, for example, a direct program of government employment. You know, Mr. Obama is now hoping that by putting money in the hands of investors, they will buy toxic assets. That will give money to banks, who then hopefully will lend money to hopefully people and businesses who will borrow it, and then maybe we'll get some employment.
And the driver of all of this is supposed to be Wall Street greed, which some would say
profitability.
Most agree that that's what got us in the mess in the first place.
Exactly. But it's also making the ultimate goal, which is to put Americans back to work so that they have a decent job, that they have a decent income, that therefore they can make their mortgage payments and we don't have the foreclosures. It's making many ifs between the desire and the end product. What Franklin Roosevelt did and what Obama seems to not yet want to do is to say if the private sector cannot provide jobs or will not do it, then the government sector will. Look, it's real simple. We have enormous unmet social needs in America, rebuilding our cities, providing decent health care and education opportunities. We have millions of people looking for work who lost their jobs. And we're now currently working at what we call 70% capacity. That is, only 70% of our factories and offices are working. So we have the people who want the work, we have the places and raw materials for them to work on and with and the tools, and we have unmet social needs, but we don't put these things together, which is the most profound criticism of capitalism that one can really make.
But Dr. Wolf, the president said that in his as a result of his stimulus plan that he signed just a little over a month ago, that jobs were already being created and that the economy was being stimulated with job creation. What do you think?
Well, I think he found within minutes of having made the statement that he needed to correct it, as his assistants did. Because the rate of job loss, that is, the rise in the rate of unemployment in the United States, has been so rapid and promises to continue to be so rapid that even if his stimulus plan succeeds, it would only reduce the amount of unemployment. It would certainly not end it, and he would certainly not put more people back to work. So it's actually and has been criticized for that. It's a plan that is very modest when compared to the scale of the economic decline that we face. And if you further add to that the fact that much of the rest of the world has been now dragged down because it was so focused on selling goods to America and borrowing money and lending money here, that we have not yet felt the impact of the rest of the world's decline, which will show up as reduced demands for American exports, that will punish us with higher unemployment, and so on and so on. So that My guess is that the president's plan, at best, will slow the decline. But it is not big enough, and it is not bold enough, and it is not direct enough to reverse it.
I'm speaking with Professor Richard Wolff. He's a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. He's featured in a new film by the Media Education Foundation called Capitalism Hits the Fan. Professor Wolff, I'd like to play a couple more excerpts from the press conference yesterday. The first one responding to the issue of the AIG bonuses that has been so controversial. Here again is President Obama from his primetime press conference yesterday.
I'm as angry as anybody about those bonuses that went to some of the very same individuals who brought our financial system to its knees. Partly because it's yet another symptom. At the same time, the rest of us can't afford to demonize every investor or entrepreneur who seeks to make a profit. That drive is what has always fueled our prosperity, and it is what will ultimately get these banks lending and our economy moving once more.
And that is President Obama. We had a little technical glitch there, but President Obama talking about the AIG bonuses and how he's extremely angry, but then a little bit, just a minute later, talking about how we mustn't demonize the investors and that it is really they and their work that fuels our economy. He even said it always has fueled our economy. Richard Wolff, how do you respond to that, given that the consumer-based economy of this country is, what, say, 4 to 5 decades old?
Yes, I would argue that in this case, I think the president is quite right. That is, in the following sense, certainly we are all outraged, not just at these bonuses and not just at the fact that they are fueled by and funded by our tax money. We ought to be actually angry about even more than that, which is the last 30 years have seen the greatest boom in high salaries of top corporate executives that we've ever had in our society. It's a little strange to be suddenly angry when we should have been angry for 30 years at the growing disparity between rich and poor generally.
Good point.
But the problem with the president's view is this peculiar notion of focusing on the profit motive as getting the credit for making our economy successful or powerful. That's a very strange logic. Most of the work done in our society to make the goods and services we have enjoyed and to make them more abundant is to the credit of the working people. I mean, let's be honest here. The work in a factory is done by everybody. It is not in some special way done by the people who gain the profits. If you ever work in a factory or if you ever work in an office, you know pretty well that there are lots of people at the very top who are there for reasons that have very little to do with how hard the work is and how hard the output is and how well it's done. It is a little strange. You know, we can do without profit as long as we have the labor. But all the profiting in the world goes nowhere if there isn't the labor underneath it. So I find that a very strange kind of logic. But I agree with the president on one point. Demonizing this or that group, financiers, bankers, AIG executives, misses the point. By changing these executives, by taking away their bonuses, we don't change the basic system, and therefore we're not going to get out of this mess. When President Obama says that what he wants to do is to make sure not only that we get out of this crisis, but that we don't face these recurring crises, he is saying something that Franklin Roosevelt said and that every president who's been in charge when we've had an economic downturn has said. But the point is, none of them ever changed or challenged the system we live with, and that's why, despite their intentions, we keep having economic cycles and downturns, and now we're in the worst one in 75 years since the last big crash that capitalism suffered. I think it's long overdue to ask basic questions about how business is organized, how we organize our economy, because we're not succeeding with these financial maneuvers and these public-private partnerships. All of this repertoire of response hasn't done the job, And the basic questions, therefore, have to be asked.
Professor Wolf, Barack Obama himself has said repeatedly that time is of the essence, that this economy is failing so fast and so widely and so deeply that any time wasted is going to be catastrophic and prolong the disaster. And yet there are promising outlooks that the economy is going to recover in 12 months. How do you feel about the fact that these essentially failed models are being tried over and over again at a time when we really can't afford to try them?
I think that what you're seeing is a fundamental belief that all the leaders of capitalist countries have come to believe, which is when things go bad, or as in the name of my film, when capitalism hits the fan, it's very important for the chief executives of large corporations and for the leading political figures in this society to talk up the economy, to say it's hit bottom, it's reached a turning point. Americans may have a short memory, but President Bush, before he left office, was wont to say repeatedly that the bottom is in view, we have turned the corner. This kind of boosterism, if you like, is thought to be good leadership. And so the president is going to talk about what happens in 12 months. Let me debunk that just in the following way. If you and I were having this conversation 12 months ago, and you asked me what I foresaw, and had I been able to say something close to the reality we're now in, you would never have invited me back on the program because you would have thought I was crazy, and most Americans would have thought I was crazy. And that's a sign that we don't know what's going to happen 12 months down the road. We never do. And the prediction about that has as much real value as going to the amusement park and having that lady look at the lines in your hand and predict your love life in the future. It's an amusement. It shouldn't be taken seriously. Mm. The reality is, and Mr. Obama, I'm sure, is very acutely informed about and aware of it, the reality is we are in the worst economic decline in our lifetimes. And it is more global, more profound. It is based on the fact that for the last 30 years, the real wages of American workers have not been increased. An hour of labor in America today earns you as much in terms of what you can actually afford to buy as an hour of labor in the 1970s. Meanwhile, profits have gone crazy because workers have become more productive over the last 3 years, even though their wages never went up. This is the fundamental problem, a fundamental difference between a working class which has had to borrow money to keep its standard of living going, and a very small part of the population that's been having a roaring good time on explosive profits. Only if you address why that happened and how that has to be now dramatically changed are you going to deal with the underlying reality and nothing that neither Bush nor Obama have yet proposed addresses that question.
Well, Richard Wolf, I want to thank you very much for joining us, and we'd love to have you back on. Thanks so much.
I'd love to be back on again, and I appreciate your invitation.
Dr. Richard Wolf is a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. He's featured in a new Media Education Foundation documentary called Capitalism Hits the Fan.